This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Your number, 877-217-5757, and your email is talk@talklouisiana.org. We start with Chris Delia. He is dean of the LSU College of the Coast and Environment. Beautiful facility, by the way. Looks like Fort Knox when you drive by the campus, and it is one of the big entities at the Old War School, and for good reason, because as stated, there's no bigger issue long-term and perhaps short-term in our state than what's happening at the coast. The boot is gone. There has been so much evisceration of the wetlands that our state really doesn't look the way it shows up on maps, does it, Chris Delia?
It's constantly changing, unfortunately, Jim.
Well, in a brilliant story from Elizabeth Colbert in The New Yorker a few months ago, she wrote about what has happened in Louisiana, and we hear these things, but put this in perspective. She writes, since the days of Huey Long, Louisiana has shrunk by more than 2,000 square miles. If Delaware or Rhode Island had lost that much territory, the U.S. would have only 49 states. Every hour and a half, Louisiana sheds another football field's worth of land, and every few minutes it drops a tennis court's worth. And on maps, the state may resemble a boot, but really, the bottom of the boot is in tatters, missing not just a sole, but also its heel and a good part of its instep. And yet, we go merrily along and pretend nothing's going on or nothing substantial, but we're really washing away and not paying a whole lot of attention to it. Why do we not have a heightened sense of alarm about this?
Well, I actually think that that's not entirely true. I think certainly the state is paying a lot of attention to the problem and has for a long time. The coastal master plan we have is probably the best of any state in the nation. The big issue is that there's a huge investment that must be made to save the coast, and for a small state, it's hard to have enough money to do that. And I think it's an unfortunate reality that a lot of the country doesn't appreciate how important Louisiana is to it in terms of being an economic engine and a transportation center and an energy center alone. There is an awful lot riding on the fate of Louisiana, and it requires an investment and attention from the rest of the world, really.
You're hearing the voice of Chris Delia. He's been at LSU right at 10 years. June 30th will mark his 10-year anniversary. He's been honored recently, a Lifetime Achievement Award. Still a young man to be getting such a
it's all, yeah, very
honor,
auspicious.
But, this is from the Gulf of Mexico Research Center. And he is a graduate of the University of Georgia, grew up in the Connecticut, New York area. When did this passion for the coast begin?
Well, my grandparents had a small cottage in Stratford, Connecticut, and right on Long Island Sound. So from my earliest days, I remember being wet and with salt water.
Well, a listener already has noted that the Louisiana legislature took BP money that was designated for coastal erosion and earmarked it for highways, which we need. We need lots of highways, but instead of going for a gas tax, we take essentially money that should be used for coastal issues and use it for other things. And as long as we do this, are we really going to be able to address what is happening?
Well, there are multiple challenges that are going to take a lot of money. And, you know, actually, I think that the gas tax idea is something that is worth thinking about because we need our highways improved. There's no doubt about it. Anybody that rides I-10 knows how serious the problem is there. But just simply for evacuation in case of a storm, if we don't have adequate highways, we're in real trouble. But certainly the scope of the investment is huge and so daunting that one has to worry.
Chris Delia is with us. He is the dean of the College of the Coast and Environment, and I've known him for a few years, and he told me once that his dad was a Pan Am pilot, went to Yale Law School and Georgetown Medical School. So he's quite a man. You've got some big footsteps to follow, and you've done it well. But this is an important endeavor, and you have spent your career addressing coastal issues. And when it comes to that, where we are is, I mean, it is the front room of this issue, isn't it?
Yeah, it was very interesting when I decided to come to LSU to be dean. People said, why do you want to go to Louisiana? Isn't it kind of a backwater? And I said, no, it's the epicenter of coastal issues in the United States. If you want to really be involved in the challenges that we have on the coast, this is the place to be. And then I would add back that I love Louisiana. It's a fascinating place. People are wonderful. There's a special ambiance here that you don't see anywhere else in the country.
That is true. But you can't have culture without land, and you can't have people without land. And we're seeing the land go by the wayside. And, of course, it makes it much easier for what's remaining to be hit by hurricanes. The killer hurricanes don't have as far to go to get to the land anymore. But what happens, and a listener has asked this question, to New Orleans? How much longer can that city last under these circumstances?
Well, we're pretty nervous right now. With the river at flood stage for nearly a record in Baton Rouge and New Orleans, and a past record for upriver, there's a real danger that we will overtop the levee if a severe storm system comes in, a tropical storm system comes in. And you got to worry about that. Let's just hope that the Midwestern rains slow down and that we can get rid of some of the water and get below flood stage as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Here's another question from Adam about the Morganza Spillway. What will happen when this is opened?
Well, that's, it's a question of how long and how much water goes through if they decide to do it. From what I can gather, the breaches in the levees up in Iowa and other places have relieved a little bit of the pressure and the need to do that. So they've mm-hmm. They just announced yesterday, I think, that they were indefinitely suspending their decision to open it.
Well, you arrived at LSU about 4 years after Katrina, mm-hmm. pretty close to it. And Katrina was a catastrophe that could have been averted. It's really a failure of the levees because the early reports were that the storm was not as powerful or as significant as Betsy or Camille or some of these others, but the levees broke and it was a new game. Are we prepared now for a major Category 4, Category 5 storm which might hit New Orleans or South Louisiana?
Well, I'm probably not the best person to address that issue. From what I've heard, we're in much better shape than we were back in the Katrina era. But it's a high-risk business. I mean, we've got a real challenge with this high river right now.
Well, the state of Louisiana is structured such that we are vulnerable, but we become more vulnerable because of efforts that were taken years ago. And what has that done as far as wiping away the coast?
Well, it's very interesting. I think a lot of people believe that our coastal problem is related to climate change. It is not. It's due to what we call subsidence, or the sinking of the land, and the lack of sediments from up in the watershed to replenish that land that does subside. And further, the inability of the marshes, for whatever reason, to stabilize the land and keep it in place. It is a very typical problem for deltas around the world, it turns out. And LSU was one of the first places that deltaic studies were initiated, and we were able to export our knowledge to the whole world. There's 20-something major deltas around the world. 7% of the world's population lives in deltaic areas, and virtually all of them are in trouble right now for pretty much the same reason. The human alteration of the watershed and the channeling of waterways and damming, et cetera, has stopped the sediments from coming down. And, of course, we protect the banks of the delta for commerce and other things mm-hmm. so that the sediments that do get down the river wash out to sea in many cases.
David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Well, I'm not sure if I could have a conversation with the guests because sea level rise is part of coastal erosion. And the fact that the Louisiana Republican delegation goes along with Trump's plan to withdraw from the Paris climate controls, after spending billions of dollars, the next Katrina that hits the Gulf Coast, all that money would have been wasted. Sir, is CO2 a greenhouse gas?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're not debunking climate change. You're just saying that there are other factors.
No, I'm saying that historically speaking, the major factor has been the subsidence of the land. The future scenario, however, says that the rise, what we call the eustatic sea level rise, the rise of the sea itself, is going to be much more of a problem. So there's no question that that's an issue.
Thank you, David. And, of course, the oil and gas industry has ripped up areas of the coast, and there have been lawsuits, and that also is a factor. But climate change is something that many deny. People like Rush Limbaugh and President Trump. Chris D'Elia says it's alive and not so well. And we'll talk more about that and more. 877-217-5757. Back in 90 seconds with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Chris D'Elia, the dean of the LSU College of the Coast and Environment, is with us. He's been doing his thing for a decade, and if you'd like to talk with him in our remaining time, 877-217-5757. And David in Atlanta brought up the fossil fuels issue that, of course, is a global concern, and some say the United States, whatever it does, it's not going to solve this problem unless other countries follow suit. Now, can anything be done, and can any consensus be reached?
It's very difficult to come up with consensus on this. There just is so much rancor out there on this topic. I think the most important thing is that people have to become educated about energy, how we get it, how we use it. I personally feel that we do need to be more conservation-oriented in our use of energy. I think it is just good economic policy in the long run to have efficiencies. But there is going to be a lot of difficulty weaning ourselves 100% from fossil fuel in the near term. Although, in the long run, it's a resource that is not a renewable resource. Fossil fuel.
Well, David is right. We can't even get the Louisiana congressional delegation to vote for these coastal issues in Washington. And if we can't get the people in Louisiana to vote for them, how in the world are we going to convince people in Connecticut and New York to do it?
Yeah, and their knowledge of the Gulf Coast is very, very limited, to be honest. And I'm always amazed when I go back up there to visit relatives, et cetera, is how little they know about the Gulf Coast and how little they realize how important the Mississippi River is to the U.S. and in the sense of its commerce and everything else.
877-217-5757 in our remaining time with Chris D'Elia. He is dean of the LSU's College of the Coast and Environment. And Chris, you have students from all over the world who are coming to LSU to study this.
Yeah, it's remarkable. In fact, we have a very international faculty as well. Something like 30% of our faculty are out of the U.S. Origins. But they're all very wonderful inclusions in our state and country. Most of them have become U.S. citizens, and they are very loyal Americans. And
all right. And Maddie asks if what is being done in the Netherlands can be replicated here.
It can and is being replicated in some senses. But the Netherlands is a tiny country and really a very concentrated country in terms of population. Everybody there is behind their government in terms of recognizing the problem they have. It's existential for the country. The bulk of the country is below sea level.
Well, it's existential for Louisiana.
Southern Louisiana,
And these state lawmakers they're not talking a lot about coastal erosion.
Well,
not at all.
Yeah.
and when you say certainly for South Louisiana, well, if South Louisiana goes away, the state changes dramatically in any number of ways, and North Louisiana would be highly affected by this.
I agree. I can't dispute that a bit.
What's your short-term forecast?
My short-term forecast is we're going to have a challenge ahead of us with this flood, flood stage. I'm very worried about that. And I can't predict politically what's going to happen, either at the state or national level with regard to the problems we have. I do know that people like Congressman Graves are very knowledgeable about these issues, and they work working hard to try to do something in Washington. But it's an uphill battle.
Well, as Elizabeth Colbert in her story wrote, sea levels are rising. In the early part of the 20th century, it lost its main source of fresh sediment to flood control measures. Then came the oil industry, which dug canals through the wetlands. The canals pulled in salt water, and as the salinity rose, the reeds and marsh grasses died. The die-off widened the channels, allowing in more salt water, causing more die-off and more widening. And I would bet that as many times as we've said this for more than 20 years, more than 30 years, about Louisiana losing a football field every hour and a half, a lot of people just don't believe it.
Well, I think you're right. And as you know, the state master plan calls for developing large-scale diversions, and they're controversial. A lot of people oppose them. So it's challenging for the state to act. I personally believe that diversions are going to be part of the picture and should be, but there are other things that can be done as well.
In Baton Rouge, another listener asked, is Baton Rouge immune to this? I think I know the answer.
I would say probably not. My building is less than a mile from the river, and I think, let's hope those levees hold.
Let's hope so, and we'll be in touch, because it looks like it's going to be an interesting few months, and we know it's going to be an interesting several years as this issue evolves. Thank you, Chris Delia, for what you do and for staying at LSU for a decade.
It's been a pleasure.
It's always an honor.